faithful. I think she was perhaps the most well-known woman in the Bible. This is a woman that's been revered and even worshipped throughout the ages. And while this popular Bible character is not worthy of worship, as she's not deity, she's certainly worthy as studying as a good example of a faithful woman of God. And that woman is Mary, the mother of Jesus. So let's go ahead and get started. We'll begin in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. There's a prophecy that speaks something about Mary and specifically the birth of Jesus and how that's going to take place. And in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And that's exactly what the angel promised, specifically to Mary, what would happen in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read a section of scripture from Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Luke 1, we're going to read verses 26 through 34. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 34, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I am a virgin?'" See, a Jewish woman in Mary's situation, I believe, probably would have remembered well the story of Sarah, who gave birth to Isaac in her old age. And do you remember how Abraham and Sarah responded to God whenever he promised them something impossible would come to pass? In Genesis chapter 17, in verse 17, we have Abraham's response. It says, "Then he fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, 'Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?'" And even Sarah responded similarly to this in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 18, when the angels told her that she would bear a son. She said, it says about her, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I am worn out, my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?' If Sarah and Abraham, who were married, laughed at the idea of having a child, then how much more did Mary have cause to laugh?" Well, that's not how she responded, though. Let's look at her response. Let's pick back up in Luke chapter 1, in verse 34. Luke chapter 1, verses 34, we'll read through verse 38. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month in which who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So the angel made two ridiculous claims here. Not only did he say that Mary, who was a virgin, would conceive and bear a son, but also said that that child would go on to inherit the throne of David. And if you think about that, Mary is betrothed to a carpenter in Nazareth, and her son's one day going to be sitting on the throne. She didn't know how this was going to be accomplished. But we see that she believed that God had the power to do what he said he was going to do. And she was also prepared to bear the consequences. She said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Whatever would come of this, Mary was prepared to accept it. And sometimes I think in situations like this, we treat God's promises like they're a joke, like Abraham and Sarah did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." When God tells us that he's going to provide a way for us to escape sin, that's not a joke. There's a way out. And when we justify our sinful nature by saying, "That's just the way that I am," or I couldn't resist, and we act on our impulses to sin, then we're scoffing at God's promise to give us a way out. We need to look for it. And that's the kind of faith that Mary had. She believed God, even when she was in a difficult situation. She believed God would get her through it. And the next example we're going to look at is that Mary was faithful also in the face of death, not just in the face of promises that seemed to be impossible. So we compared Mary to Sarah, and we looked at how God was going to bless Sarah with a child, but how he did that was through Abraham. And that made Sarah's situation at least socially acceptable, but that's not the case with Mary. Let's look at her story from Joseph's point of view, as we read in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. Imagine if Joseph had indeed put her away. It would have looked like she had cheated on him and was an adulteress. That wouldn't have looked good for Mary at all. But even if Joseph had taken her as his wife, then it still would have looked either like she had cheated on him and was an adulteress and he was just being humble and willing to take her anyway, or it would have looked like he was the father and they were trying to cover up that situation. So anyway, you look at it, Mary was in sin in the eyes of the Jews in this situation. She was an adulteress. And if you know anything about the Jews, if you've studied the law of Moses, you probably realize that the penalty for a lot of sins was death. If you had a rebellious child and you weren't able to get that child to obey, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, the Jews were commanded to take them out and have the men of the city stone them. The penalty for adultery is the same according to Leviticus chapter 20, and that's death by stoning. And I think that would really make someone think twice before committing adultery. And in this situation, in the best of scenarios, I think Mary might have reasoned that she at least would have been cast out of the synagogue, cast out of the congregation for what she did, even though she was innocent. And in the worst of scenarios, she would die for adultery. But we've already looked at her response to that situation. In Mary's faith in the face of death, it reminded me of a story that I've heard, and y'all may have heard about the Columbine shooting that took place in Colorado years back, and I'm not going to go into the details, but the victims of that shooting were presented with a question for what witnesses recount. They were presented with a gun in their face and they were asked, do you believe in God? And a girl named Cassie Bernal was immortalized in a Flyleaf song for her response to that question. And the lyrics of the song, they go like this. It says, the question asked in order to save her life or take it. The answer no to avoid death. The answer yes would make it. Do you believe in God written on the bullet? Say yes to pull the trigger. Do you believe in God written on the bullet? And Cassie pulled the trigger. And I think we've seen in this situation, Mary had that same kind of faith. She would have pulled the trigger too. For when she was presented with a situation where she might have been considered an adulteress and condemned even to die, she says, behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And that's faith. Another example of Mary's faith is that she was faithful when others were not. I think I'm a little behind on my slides here. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 1 through 5, we read about how Jesus preached and performed miracles in his hometown Nazareth. And in verse 3 of Mark chapter 6, his own people say, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not these his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And those were his own people that he might have grown up with. And look at how his own brothers viewed him in John chapter 7 and verse 1 through 5. We read that his own brothers did not believe him, even after he had revealed himself with many miracles. Though we do know that some of them later ended up believing in him. But throughout this time, we don't have any evidence that Mary doubted who Jesus was, even before he revealed himself through miracles that he was the Son of God. Let's look at an example in John chapter 2. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 2. We find here an example that the wedding feast at Cana, where Jesus performs his first miracle. And they have a problem. They don't have enough wine here at the wedding. And Mary tells Jesus here they have no wine. And he says to her in verse 4, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. You know, Jesus hasn't revealed himself yet. We don't know why Mary thought that Jesus would be able to handle this particular situation. But her faith paid off. The people listened to Mary's advice. They did what Jesus said. And through them, Jesus performed his first miracle at Cana, where he turned the water into wine. And I think that's an example of Mary's faith, trusting that Jesus will be able to handle this situation. I used to love the song, Mary, Did You Know, before I did this study on Mary. And the words of the song are very strong, very powerful words. And a few examples of some of the lyrics. It'll ask a question in the song, Mary, did you know? And then answer it. One example, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Or did you know that he would save our sons and daughters? And then one of my favorites, did you know that the child that you delivered would soon deliver you? And I think that though these lyrics are very powerful, the Bible's clear about the answer to those questions. And Mary did know. She believed what God told her from the very beginning. And she believed in Jesus. Let's look at an example of that in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. We're going to read through verse 55. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. Luke chapter 1 and verse 39, it says, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. See, Mary was faithful here. Elizabeth said to her, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord has spoken to her. She did believe, even from the beginning, she believed that God would accomplish what he said he was going to accomplish through her. Not only was she faithful whenever others were not, but she was faithful whenever all hope seemed lost. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56, we find out that all of Jesus' disciples left him and fled whenever he was betrayed and captured in the garden. And only four of those disciples are mentioned as being at the cross whenever the others were not there. And Mary is one of those. And some of you might be thinking, well, of course she was there. She was his mother. You know, any mom would be out there for her son. But I don't think Mary was just there at the cross because Jesus was her son. Jesus said in Mark chapter 3 and verse 35, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. And that shows you that Jesus looked at the heart before the family relationship. His disciples were his family first. And when Jesus was hanging there on the cross in John chapter 19, and we'll read verses 25 through 27, John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Standing there were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And in verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And the way that Jesus plans for Mary from the cross to be cared for by his closest disciple, John, it shows you what Jesus thought about Mary. And I believe based on Mark 3:35, how Jesus viewed his disciples, those that he called his family, if Mary had not been faithful to him as a disciple and not just as family, he would not have entrusted her care to John like this. And the fact that Mary was there at the cross when most of his disciples had fled shows the faith that she had for him. That even when Jesus was here about to die and all hope seemed lost, that she was there. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, we also have an example of her, even after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and later his ascension, we still find Mary an example of her being faithful. It says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 12, after they had returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, and picking up verse 13, when they had entered Jerusalem, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. And then Luke lists the apostles here, and he says in verse 14, these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so we find, even after Jesus was gone, Mary's still here, a devout disciple, praying with the apostles. And so I think this morning that we've looked at an example of a very strong faith, a woman who was faithful, even when God's promises seemed impossible, even in the face of death, even whenever others around her were not faithful, and even when all hope seemed lost in her own Son was being crucified on a cross, that she remained faithful. Let's pray together this morning. Our Holy Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning to thank you for a time we have to reflect on a woman in the New Testament who is faithful to you through very many trials. And Lord, we're so blessed for this time to gather together and to study together. We pray, Lord, that we will look at this example and strengthen our own faith, and that we will help build up each other's faith. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we go throughout the rest of this worship service this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to have good and humble hearts, and that we will remove any sinful things from our thoughts this morning, that we will be concentrating on your word. Father, we love you and we're so thankful for Jesus, your son, and the sacrifice that he made for us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name, and amen.